Welcome to the Oakland Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Senior Pastor Randy Bain. It's our prayer that this message encourages you and strengthens you. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.
Today we're going to look at, a relationship between running a race and the Christian faith, or being in a competition, and so that's what we're going to look at. So basically I have three different scriptures that cover each one of the points of the message, and the first scripture is Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. So we're going to read this, if you would want to join me with me in reading this. Why don't we read it together? That would be fun. Can we do it? Amen? Hallelujah? Okay, let's do it. Therefore, since we also have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us rid ourselves of every obstacle and the sin which so easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking only at Jesus, the originator and perfecter of the faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Wow, you're good. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God that you have given us that tells us who we are, tells us who you are, and it tells us of the grace and transforming power of your Spirit. Bless this message, Lord. I know it's a lot of chaotic fun around it, but I pray that the message of the gospel would hit home tonight, today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've already read this, but the memory verse would be verse 1. If you don't have this one memorized, at least close in some translation, you should. So let's recite this again. Therefore, since we are of witnesses surrounding us, let us rid ourselves of every obstacle and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Hebrews 12, 1. Well, the Olympics, the Summer Olympics this year, are going to be held in France, in Paris. And so, by the way, after service, if you want some French snacks, Olympic snacks, you can go to the Fellowship Hall. And there's chocolate milk, because I guess that's one of the sponsors of the Olympics, and Coke, because Coca-Cola is one of the sponsors. And you'll get some cheese and some French baguettes and things like that. So I encourage you to stop afterwards to have a snack. Paris is the first, it's the second city ever to host the Olympics three times. They hosted it in 1900 and 1924, and now this year. And London's the other one. They hosted the Olympics in 08, 48, and then 2012. Now, in 2028, if the Lord tarries, do you know where the Olympics will be held?
L.A.
All right, you already heard the sermon. Yeah, Los Angeles, so it's going to be back in the United States. Darlene and I had the privilege of going to the Olympics in 1996 because my brother lives in Atlanta, and so we had an easy, visit my brother and then go to the Olympics. That was the year it was famous for a bomb exploded in Olympic Village. Actually, Darlene and I walked right near the area where the bomb was, but of course, we weren't involved in that. But one of the things I really remember about that, besides the bomb, is that there was terrible flooding in Pennsylvania that year, in July. We were traveling. We took 2 weeks off. That was the first time, I think, ever that we have taken 2 weeks off as a family. And we went to Myrtle Beach for a week, and then we were driving from Myrtle Beach to Atlanta. And on the way, we were listening to the radio. Some national weather came on saying, Mrs. Carnes is watching a barn float down the Red Bank Creek in New Bethlehem. I know Mrs. Carnes. She lives in South Bethlehem. And I'm like, what? This is on national news? Mrs. Carnes is watching a barn float down the river? Well, the creek? It's actually a creek. But they had terrible flooding, and so that's what I remember about it. But regardless, I think there's a connection we can make, some learning, but contrast and comparing being in the Olympic Games and being in faith in the battle to live a Christian life in this world. First point, we must compete in the race. And we already read that verse that says, therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run the race with endurance that is set before us. You know, there's a slogan that the lottery has. You can't win if you don't play, right? Well, tell you what, I do not play, and I have won every day. Amen. You know, so I didn't waste any money, didn't throw any money away, and it's all fine. But anyway, that's the slogan. But that's true. You're not going to win an Olympic medal if you don't play, if you don't compete, right? You've got to try out. You've got to get into the race. And the same is true, I think, spiritually. My friends, you got to get in the race. You know, as I quoted Coach Bill Lamp last sermon, he was a basketball coach from Rockwood. He was saying before he died, he wanted everyone to know, Christianity is the real deal. It is a real way of life. Jesus is real. And my friends, if you want to know that, you have to get into the Christian life. You've got to step out in faith. You've got to ask Jesus to come into your life, forgive you of your sins, and you've got to get in the race. You've got to start work. You've got to get involved. There's a saying, let's just look at sports in general. Let's suppose an alien came and looked at our sport of football. What would they observe? They would observe that there's 22 people on the field that desperately need a rest. And there's about 50,000 people in the stands that desperately need to exercise. Right? It's kind of a different thing, right? So the question is, who are you? Are you the spectator in the stands that needs to exercise, or are you the participant on the field? Now, this says this passage, see, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. That's talking about all those who have gone before us that are in heaven today cheering us on. I think that's what it's referring to. And so we are the ones on the playing field. You know, every November we celebrate Memorial Sunday. We celebrate all those who have gone on. We remember those who have died. And basically, the comment we make is they have just left the church triumphant or the church militant, and entered the church triumphant. They're still the church, but they're just in a different location. They are the church triumphant. They're the cloud of witnesses that are watching. They're the ones in the stands. We're the ones on the playing field. And so we need to get involved. We need to plug in. We need to compete with everything we have. You know, the saying about the church, just kind of like a football team, they say 10% often in the church, 10% of the people do 90% of the work. Now, let's pray that isn't true for Oakland, okay? I know a lot of you are involved. There's a lot of people helping. But we need everyone to be plugged in, everyone to be working, everyone to be active on the playing field. We were passing the torch around. Did everybody get a touch of torch? Let's say that the goal was that everyone had to touch the torch. Well, if one person didn't pass it, what happens? It doesn't get passed. You know, that everyone needs to participate. A couple of scriptures, 1 Peter 4:10 says, "Is as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the multifaceted grace of God." Let's take that first phrase. As each one has received a special gift. As each one. Each. That's us, right? Everyone raise your hand. That's you. Each one is talking about you. It's talking about me. Each one of us have received a gift. A gift from the Holy Spirit. If you're a Christian, you've accepted Christ, God has endowed you with spiritual gifts. And what are we supposed to do with that gift? We all have at least one. It says, employ it in serving one another. We need to use it. We need to get on the field. We need to get in the game. We need to use that gift to bless others. We need to make a difference. Another verse is Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." God's created us to do good works. Now, just it says in the scriptures that Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. So even before creation, God had a plan that Jesus would be the Lamb of God. I believe even before creation, God had a plan that you and I would have spiritual gifts and we would use those gifts to bless others, to bless one another. And so God is entrusting you with spiritual gifts. He wants you to use them for his glory. Get in the game. get in the race. Okay? Now, I've quoted this. This next quote is right out of our membership class. Although we will revamp the membership class, I'm pretty sure this phrase is going to stay in there. Number one, it says, at Oakland, every member is a minister. Every member is a minister. God has given you a spiritual gift. He expects you to use it to minister to other people. He wants you to use it. You alone have the mission field to which you're entrusted. And what's your mission field? Well, when you wake up in the morning, where do you live? Who's in your family? Where do you go to work? Where do you hang out? I mean, that's your mission field. You are around people I will never see. I will never know. You might be the only Christ that they will know. You might be the only witness that they ever have. That is your mission field. You are a minister of the gospel. Whether you like it or not, you are a minister. People are watching. We have a cloud of witnesses in heaven watching us, but we also have a cloud of witnesses around us that are watching us. Be the minister that God's called you to be. And then the second point is every task is important. Every task is important. And I don't know what your gift is, but whatever that gift is, it is important. We need you to use that gift. You know, I remember a few years ago I was leading a retreat, and I had 13 people. I think it was a spiritual gift retreat. We were at Camp Allegheny, and we were going over spiritual gifts. And I think there were 13 of us there. And I was completely amazed after we all identified our spiritual gifts. This person had I think we were using the Aaron, the one that you did. Where's Aaron at? Back there with her red crew back there. Why don't you guys all just stand up and be complete idiots? I mean, complete demonstrations of fun. Yeah, give them a hand. That's a home group. Matching headbands and shirts. God bless you guys. Right. We're going to talk to my group tonight, see what's wrong with them. but anyway, I had 13 of us there. And Aaron, I think it's the same material that you did with the spiritual gift. It was the servant profile, where you identify your passion, your spiritual gift, and your personal style. And when we talked about that, wow, I found out this person had a passion for youth ministry. This person cared about children's ministry. This one was like really a shepherd, really was concerned about. And this person was just a server, just wanted to use their gifts to help. And this was a worship leader, and this one wanted to preach. And I looked at that. Out of these 13 people, I said to them, we could plant a church. We got the whole thing. We got every base is covered with these 13 people. And I was thinking, isn't that amazing? Jesus had 12 disciples. You know, I'm not saying that if you get 13 people together that they're going to be the perfect match of every gift that you need, but every gift is needed. Every gift is needed, and you have a gift, and every task is important. And finally, every member is a 10 in some area. I don't know what your area is, but you're a 10 in some area. Maybe you don't sing well. Maybe you don't preach. Maybe you don't cook. I don't know. But you're a 10 in some area, and we need to use that gift. So get in the race. Get in the battle. So you need to get out of the stands and onto the field. And I think that's on multiple levels. Number one, if you're not a Christian, if you're on the edge of Christianity, you haven't accepted Christ, I want to tell you, being on the field is the real life. Ask Jesus to come into your heart to transform your life, and your life will never be the same. That's where you need to be. That's where the race is run. That's where the joy comes in. That's where to be. Secondly, if you're a Christian, are you plugged in a local church? Join the church. Are you serving? Are you volunteering? Are you in a home group? How are you involved? You know, statistics say if you don't get involved beyond 10th Sunday morning attendance, you won't last 6 months in a local church. You can only feel welcome so long, you know. And it's like, okay, yeah, I really feel welcome. They're a friendly church. If you don't get involved, then you that welcome wears out. You need to get more plugged in. And so let's say you're a Christian here and you're plugged in and you're exhausted. You are doing so much stuff. And you know the joke about pastors and leaders. If you need something done, who do you ask? You ask someone who's busy. Either they don't know how to say no, or they'll get something done. You know, ask them, right? And some of you know who you are. You know, we're going to ask you all the time. When I needed the directory, I needed a team to run the directory. I asked the network team, give me a list of names of people you think ought to be doing it. I was surprised. Some new people, that was awesome. But most of them were the old ones that are always serving. Like, really? We need to give someone else a chance. Let somebody else serve. So if that's you, you're exhausted and you're doing way too much, you need to find some other people and disciple them, mentor them, let them help you. Start doing ministry in pairs instead of by yourself. Now, I'm not necessarily the best person to talk to about that because I tend to also just do things myself. But that's the answer, my friends. You need to find someone else and let them help you. Let them train them to take your position so you can do something else. You know, I remember a few years ago when I was at my previous church, they had a second Saturday in August, they had a picnic. And after picnic, they served roast beef with gravy and mashed potatoes with gravy and stuffing with gravy. I mean, it was a great meal. You know, it was a lot of bread and a lot of gravy, but you can't beat it. But so anyway, everybody had a job. And since it was a historic thing that they did every year, these jobs were like passed down like inheritances, you know? The lady doing the mashed potatoes had done the mashed potatoes, and her mother did the mashed potatoes before her. The lady that cut up the roast beef, and you had to cut it up a certain way by hand. You couldn't use a cutter. You had to do it by hand. And her probably her mother taught her how to do it. And so I come, and I always want to help and get involved. So I show up, and I'm like, what can I do? And someone says, well, I guess you can help me do the potatoes. I go, okay. So I'm out there mixing the potatoes in this giant, you know, rectangular box. And before long, that person leaves, and I'm the potato guy. Well, I see a newcomer who's not doing anything. What do I say? I'm the pastor. I want to include everybody. Why don't you help me with the potatoes? So they come over, they're doing the potatoes. What I have just done was taken that person's job and given it to somebody else. And I didn't realize that was a problem. After about 3 years, that picnic was about to explode. Because I was in the kitchen, someone giving me a job because I'm the pastor. Then I'd find someone, newcomer, who's not involved and let them have my job. And I was taking jobs from the historic inherited jobs and giving them out to newcomers. And eventually, we almost had a meltdown. We finally did solve it, and everything got fine. And the end result was I would stay out of the kitchen, and I would walk around in the grove and visit people. That was my job. So that way I couldn't mess up the system. But my friends, we need to be able to give people our jobs. We need to teach someone to do what we do. Then we can go do something else. Right? But that's really what we need. We need to be in the program. If you're a Christian, not a Christian, get in the Christian. Become a Christian. Get into the Christian life. It's a real deal. It is life. If you are a Christian, you need to get involved. And if you're a Christian that's busy, you need to mentor somebody else. Second one is we need to receive the prize. Now the next scripture is 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. It says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things, so they do it to obtain a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way that I do not run aimlessly. I box in such a way as to avoid hitting the air, but I strictly discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. You know, in the Olympics, they get medals, right? Gold, silver, and bronze. Those are comparative medals, right? I mean, you don't have to be the fastest man on earth to get a gold medal. You just have to be faster than the number two guy, right? I mean, sometimes they'll be running a long race and the commentators will say, oh, they're going on a slow pace. This isn't going to be a fast race. Doesn't matter. The one in first gets the gold medal no matter how slow he is, right? It's kind of the joke about if you're out in the woods and there's a bear chasing you, you don't have to outrun the bear, right? You just outrun the person with you. That's all you have to do, right? Well, it's comparative. Christianity is not comparative. We all get a prize. I know some of you aggressive parents, sports parents, are a little frustrated that nowadays, we have teams, and everybody on the team gets a trophy just for participating, right? You don't have to win anymore. Just show up, and you get a trophy. Well, I hate to tell you that, but Christianity's that way, right? As long as you show up, if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you live for him, you get a prize. Amen? It's free. Heaven is a free gift. Eternal life is free to all who will believe. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. We all get the prize. And the neat thing about it is we all get a prize, but the prize is not just a simple, and I think this is plastic, but not just a simple medal. But the prize is something eternal. Amen? We have eternal life, the joy of the Lord. We receive a foretaste of heaven in the Holy Spirit. I mean, he is ours. That's the prize. We all get the prize. You know, I think about the perishable nature of the other prizes. I heard about two stories about people that lost their Olympic medals. One was Shaquille O'Neal. I think in 1996, was that the year? Yeah, 1996, he was on the Olympic the Dream Team basketball team. Well, it was his first year. They didn't play him a lot because Robinson, I think, was like going to be his last year that he was getting older. And the coach says, I'm going to play him more because this will be his last chance. Well, I think Shaquille O'Neal sat out till the last 2 minutes of the gold medal game. He was so upset. On the way home, he threw his gold medal out the window of his car. It was never found. He lost. They threw it away. There's another one, Jordan Poulter, who was the setter for the 2012 volleyball team. I think it's 2020 women's volleyball team. She left her gold medal in a rented car, and she lost it. And well, here somebody found it. They say stole it, but found it. And later they must have thrown it out. And somebody was in the park and saw this McDonald's bag. You know how people discard, drop them. And so they were going to throw it in the trash. They picked it up, and right beside it was a little plastic bag that had a gold medal in it. They've had to track it down. So talk about losing stuff that's, you know, how valuable are those? Well, you don't get to take them to heaven. The reason I'm using the handheld mic is I got no pocket or belt to slip the clip the microphone on. You know, so I said, I'll just use the handheld. But, I don't have any pockets. Do you know how the early athletes competed in the Olympics? You do, don't you? They were naked. They competed naked. Someone said, we're so glad that they changed that rule for today. I'm like, yeah, we're way past that. But, yeah, I'm telling you, we don't take it to heaven. Amen? All these prizes, all this stuff on earth, you don't get to take with you. Naked we came into this world, naked we're going back out. The only thing we get to take with us is what we have done for the kingdom and what God has done through us. So we all get a prize, we all get an imperishable prize, and that is ours. Heaven is a free gift. We all get it, it's free to us. From the first to the last, from the greatest to the least, it's all based on the blood of Christ, amen? So have you received that? It says, run in such a way to receive the prize. The only way you have to run is to be faithful to the end. Finish the race. And that's the last point I want to say. Finish your course. 2 Timothy 4:6-8 says, this is Paul writing. This is his second imprisonment. He is facing possible death. He says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. 2 Timothy 4. Finish the race. Finish your race. Don't let anything stop you. Don't let anything cause you to check out. It's easy to get offended. Hey, churches, we fall short all the time, don't we? We mess up. You know, anytime someone will come to me, want to join the church, say, oh, well, I used to go to this church, and we ran into trouble, and this happened, immediately I just apologize. I say, I am so sorry. We are human, and we mess up. I will try my best to be a good pastor for you, but I can't guarantee it because I'm human. You know, there's going to be times I mess up. And that's true. Don't let anything get in the way. Don't let a broken relationship, don't let an illness, don't let a diagnosis, don't let a lost job, don't let wayward kids, don't let being upset with the pastor, don't let anything keep you from finishing your race. Finish the race. Finish your course. Don't let anything stop you. I remember the first time, well, get to that later. Timothy, we believe Paul was in prison. This was his second imprisonment. And here he says, I have fought the fight, I am ready. We believe that he was executed after this, that he was beheaded. But earlier on, he records in Philippians 1, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And he said, for I am, whether I live in the flesh, it means fruitful labor for you, but if I would go, I would be with the Lord. He was hard pressed, but he said, I am convinced that I will remain, because he thought he was needed in the church. And we believe, according to history, it seems like the best understanding is after Philippians was written, he was released, and then later he was arrested, and during a time of persecution was executed after 2 Timothy 4. Don't fall short. Don't stop short. As long as you complete the race, it doesn't matter how fast you go. The Christian life is a marathon. It's not a sprint. Okay? It's a marathon, not a sprint. You need to be faithful to the end. Faithful to the end. It doesn't matter how fast you're growing. I mean, I think we all ought to be growing faster than we are. Absolutely. Sometimes I'm almost ashamed to give my testimony that I gave my life to Jesus 50 years ago. Like, wow, I should be way holier than I am today after 50 years. But you are growing as fast as the Lord can grow you. You hear that? And it's not his weakness, it's our weakness. But he is bringing us along as fast as he can. So just keep growing. Keep walking with the Lord. As it said in that Hebrews passage, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. And finish the race. Finish the course, what he has given you to do. There's a story told about a marathon runner, Jim Peters. This was back in the 1950s. He was a 32-year-old runner from England, and he had just broken his own marathon record. I think at that time the record was 2 hours and 17 minutes to run the marathon. I don't know what it is today. But then a few weeks later, he ran this other race in Vancouver, in the 1954 Empire Games, and he came into the stadium on this marathon 17 minutes ahead of the second place person. And the problem was, after running that other race and then running this race, it was hot that day, didn't wear a hat, just a whole bunch of stuff. He was exhausted as he entered the stadium. All he had to do was, you know, make a lap in the stadium and cross the finish line. And it shows, there's actually video footage of that. You can go on YouTube and watch it. But he was so weak, his legs were so spindly, he would take two steps sideways and one step forward, and two steps sideways and one step backward. And they watched this happen for 11 minutes. And finally he collapsed. And of course no one helped him, because he was trying to get back up and he was trying to finish the race. And he managed to get back up on his spindly legs and moved forward, and there at the line he collapsed across the line. And then his trainers came out and all the people came out. They got him on a stretcher and got him to the hospital, blah, blah, blah. Problem was, that wasn't the finish line. The finish line was on the other side of the stadium. He collapsed before he got to the finish line. My friends, don't let that happen to you. Finish the race. Finish the course. Stay true to Jesus through the end. No matter what happens, no matter how bad you mess up, no matter how bad people mess you up, don't give up. Keep following Jesus. What has God given you to do? What is your gift? What is God calling you to do? And then, when is it finished? When do you get to quit? Does anybody know that? When's retirement in the kingdom? When you go to heaven, that's retirement. As long as you're breathing and you're on this side of glory, God's still got work for you to do. Somebody say, well, I've done all that. Well, then you can still pray for people. You can still encourage people. You can mentor people. You know, you can still serve. You are not done until you stand in glory in the presence of Jesus. God is still calling you to be involved. Keep plugging away. Well, finally, what's our great prize? The greatest prize isn't some gold medal. It's even our crowns, because if you get to heaven, what do they do with their golden crowns? They lay them down at the feet of Jesus. Oh, I want to do that, Lord. I want to give him my crown. Any blessing I get, any reward I get, I will lay at the feet of Jesus. A few years ago, I did a funeral for Bev and Dick Fondelier. I'm not sure. I think Bev might have died first. But when we got ready to plan the service, Tom said, well, I want to play this song by the Afters. I didn't even know what he was talking about. Afters? What are you? Well, here it turns out they're a group. Somebody know that? Hope that you all know that. I didn't. And like, okay, what are we going to play? Well, the song is Well Done. And it just quotes Matthew 25 over and over. Well done, well done. It just crushed me, because that's what I want to hear when I get to heaven. Matthew 25:21 says, His master will say to them, Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter to joy of your master. Isn't that what we're listening for? Isn't that the ultimate crown? Is to hear at the end of our life, Jesus say, Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter the joy of your master. My friends, that's what's ahead for us as Christians. We have all won if we will walk with Jesus, if we'll keep him in the center of our eye, our focus. Well done. The worship team came in slow motion to the Chariots of Fire song. Thank you. You guys look like idiots. I mean, good idiots, but I mean, it was great. It's great. That's what I wanted. Hey, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. But that was awesome, wasn't it? Thank you. Thank you for doing that. But that the movie Chariots of Fire is really about Eric Little. Eric Little was a Scotsman. He ran for England in the 1924 Olympic Games. And his race was the 100-meter dash. He was a missionary child. He was born in China. He was studying and getting ready to go back to China as a missionary. And he loved Jesus. And because the 100-meter race was held on Sunday, he refused to run. Oh, we need that kind of dedication today. Amen. He refused to run. And I think the Prime Minister, maybe even the Queen, put pressure on him. He says, no, I'm not running on Sunday. And so he didn't. And later there was a 400-meter race, which was not his race. But he ran that because it was through the week, and he won. It won gold. After that, in 1925, Eric Little left and went to China, and he served the Lord the rest of his life there. And he actually died in a Japanese internment camp during World War II in China. He gave his life. Well, he only came back to Scotland twice. And one of those trips back, he was asked if he regretted his decision to leave behind the fame and glory of athletics. Here's what he said. It's natural for a chap to think over all that sometimes, but I'm glad I'm at the work I'm engaged in now. A fellow's life counts far more than this, at this than the other. Basically, he said he was not regretting anything that he gave up, any gold medals, any glory, and even money from the athletics, because his life was counting far more for the kingdom. He said in one of his quotes in the movie, I believe God made me for a purpose, but he also made me fast. When I run, I feel his pleasure. My friends, what are you doing in life that you feel the pleasure of God? Because that's what he's calling you to do. Use your gift to benefit the church, to benefit others, to benefit those around you. Run the race. Get plugged in to a local church and receive your prize. And finish your race. Keep running until Jesus calls you home. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Oakland Church. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.